in chapter 45, chapter into the book of Psalms 10, about the sun, verse 23. Rebecca has two children in her womb, and she doesn't know. And in verse 23, she goes to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord says unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two people shall be separated from thy body. And the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. And so, in the sins of one, the elder is Esau, and he lives and varies all over, and his brother, Jacob, has his hand on his heel, and Esau calls the born first. And then in chapter 25, look at verse 27. And the boy slew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob is a quiet man, dwelling in tents. Now Isaac loved Esau, because he was either his innocent, and Rebecca loved Jacob. Is this remarkable? Father and mother, they had two children, and father loves one of the twins, and mother loves the other one. It's not that they hate the other, it's just that they love one more than the other. So this is the answer. But please notice, because this gives us much understanding about Isaac. It says in verse 38, now Isaac loved Esau. Why? Because he did eat of his venison. So that's plain enough. And it doesn't tell us why Rebecca loved Jacob. But just keep it in mind. Now, chapter 27. So many years have transpired that Isaac is now 133 years old. And Jacob is 77 years old. And in verse 1 it says, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his elder son and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore I pray thee, take thy weapon, the quiver, and the bow, and go out to the field, and take me venison, and make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Here is a remarkable thing. It says the reason that Isaac loved Esau was because he would go hunting, catch game, and bring it home and prepare it in a certain way and feed his father. Now that's good if you've got a son that will do that, but there should be other reasons if you love your son. But here God tells us plainly, and perhaps more about that later. I'd like to read the whole chapter, but I shan't. But notice that Esau obeys his father's voice and he goes hunting. But when he spoke those words, when Isaac spoke those words to Esau, his wife Rebecca heard those words, and you remember that she loved Jacob. And so look at verse 8. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me that two good kids of the goat, and I will make them savory food for thy father, such as he loveth. So everybody knows that dad loves savory meat. But not only can her son do it, but his mother, and she knows how to make it as well. And so what she's going to do is to enter into a deceitful covenant with her son Jacob.
Look at verse 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall see to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon thee, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me then. And so he does that. And his mother makes this food, and gives it to her son, Jacob. Now let's see what happens. Verse 18. And he came unto his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God sent me good seed. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hand of the hand of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hand. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, Now, if I go to an older man, and I say, Bless me, what is he going to do? He said he's going to lift his voice in prayer to God, and ask for good things to come into my life. So that's what a blessing is. So here is a prayer, and it's a prophecy as well. So here is Isaac's prayer. He thinks for Esau, but in reality it's for his son Jacob. So look at verse 27. He blessed him and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. And God give thee of the dew of heaven, and of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and new wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be everyone that blesseth thee. And that is his prayer. Now, verse 30. And it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out in the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau his brother came in from hunting. And he also made savory food, and brought it unto his father. And he said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that my soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who then is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceeding great and bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with guile, and he has taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not deserved a blessing from me? Now here's what I want you to see. At verse 37, we have the blessing of Isaac interpreted. Look at it. What do these prophetical words mean in verses 27, 8, and 9? This is what it means. Look at verse 37. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with grain and new wine have I sustained him. And what then shall I do for thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Now, here is his prayer for his son Esau. And let's try to analyze that also. There's one word in the Hebrew that can have a twofold meaning, and I'm going to give you the meaning that I take it to be in verse 39. This is the blessing. Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall be thy dwelling, and away from the view of heaven, from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and thou shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt break loose, that thou shalt shake his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessed brother his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. This is such a sad portion of the Word of God for this reason. I told you last message, when we considered the character of Isaac, I said there was no person in the Old Testament that was a more perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ submitting himself to the will of the Father than Isaac. When he knew that his father Abraham was going to offer him as a burnt offering, he allowed his father to take his hands and bind them and to lay them upon the altar, and he prepared to put his life out of respect and obedience and devotion to his father. And I told you this, and it's true. Unlike Abraham, who lived his whole life and then in his old age had the greatest temptation brought to him, he went back to God, his only son whom he loved, and he passed that test at the end of his life. What God has done with Isaac is to give him the severest test at the beginning of his life, and he passed it. And so there's no greater test than that. It says, Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And here is someone who is prepared to lay down his life for his father. Nothing finer in the Bible, more of a picture of Christ and obedience to his father than that of Isaac. But what happens is this, that many times when we excel in one area, it does not mean that we excel in other areas. It means that, yes, we are quite prepared to give up our lives if it pleases our Father. But then when we go through life living our own life, we are not always of that high character through the rest of our life. For this reason, you would think that as when we were introduced to Isaac as a young man, it says he went out into the field to meditate. You would think that Isaac and the life that he lived after, he's willing to sacrifice his life and obedience to his father Abraham, that he would be one of prayer and meditation and devotion. But it isn't that way. He's a peaceful man, and people are always taking things that belong to him, and he's quite prepared to let them have it. And that's why Christ also, it says concerning Christ, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. And here is Isaac, and God has blessed him abundantly, and he grows and he unstops the wells that his father Abraham had dug during his lifetime. And when he would unstop a well, his enemies would come and claim that well. And he would back off and say, "You may have the well." And he did it again. And they took that well. He said, "You may have that well." And then he went and dug another. Now that is a good quality. But evidently what happened is that in his old age, he's living for savory meat. He's delighted and he is prepared to send his son out often to take venison with his bow and arrow to shoot a deer and bring it home. And when he does, his father is just delighted, waiting for that saving meat to be prepared. And this is what is so sad, that in looking upon his two sons, when he looks upon Esau, the reason he loves him is because of the gratification of the enjoyment of the flesh, is why he loves his son Esau. God honestly tells us that. And who could help but love such a son? Why, my son loves me, he goes hunting for me, he brings his food and takes care of me. That's so good if you have children that will do that for you. And your parents do. Most of them, instead of going hunting and bringing food to their father, they come to father to get food. But here is a son that is prepared to do these good things for his father. But it would be good if, as the Lord Jesus said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I do always the things that please my Father," and they were spiritual things. It would be good if he could look upon our children, and if one of our children knew how to get to it by good enough physical things that satisfy the flesh, and we love him, he should understand that. You can't help but enjoy being around people that are generous, that do things for you. But at the same time, if that's the only reason we love him, then that is going to be hard for this reason. If they stop thinking for you, then you stop loving. That's what they're bad. Well, if there are spiritual qualities, those spiritual qualities will abide, and that you do not love a son or a daughter, the spiritual qualities, but only for what they do for you, don't you understand that that's a mark against you? It shows your carnality. It shows your lack of perception as to why you should love your children. It's like the father said, "I have three sons." He said, "One of them is a doctor, and one of them is a lawyer, but the other one isn't much. He turned out to be a preacher." And so that's what the father said about him. And so here is a father that loves his son because of the very things that the world is not a time for. So be thankful if your children will do things for you. But at the same time, look at spiritual quality. And thinking of this, I know a father who has a son, and his son is a brilliant son. He has a doctor's degree, and yet his son is devoted to the Lord. He gives his life to helping other young people. And so that is why he should love his son. His father would love his son no matter what they did. We've seen some parents that are that way. They can find some excuse. But there is every reason he should love his son. And I cannot help but love him that way as well. So remember, if you're loving your children, be thankful if they are kind and if they remember you. And they're supposed to do that, because it says in 1 Timothy 5 that the children are to requite their parents. That means that what you've done for them when they were children, when they grow up, they're to requite you and take care of you. God demands that in 1 Timothy chapter 5. So be thankful if they do that. But at the same time, what if you had a child that was good to you, good to your physical things, that didn't love the Lord Jesus, was a sinner, that cared nothing about the Savior? Would you be satisfied and loving just because he did physical things for you? Well, this is all it tells us about Isaac loving Esau. He must have loved him for other reasons, but at the same time, it wasn't a good thing. Now, this. Think of the blessing he pronounced upon his son. Look at it again, please, in chapter 27, and look at verse 27. This is the blessing. 28, verse 28. God strip thee of the dew of heaven. That means that you need rain, you need moisture to take care of your crop, and of the fatness of the earth. That means good location where things will grow, and plenty of grain and new wine. These are material blessings. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Curse thee everyone that curses thee, and bless thee everyone that blesses thee. Tell me one spiritual blessing that Isaac prayed for his son, he thought, was Esau. No. He says, I want you to have material things. I want you to have exaltation in the world. I want you to be one who rules over people. Well, that's such a good thing for this reason. If you take it by itself, it's a sad prayer for a child. But it says in verse 10 of the 6th that God has given us richly all things to enjoy. And so if you pray for all of these things to come into the life of your son, or your daughter, and they know how to use these things, and they enjoy them in fellowship with God, it's a good thing. But what happens is that most of the time, if you give these things to your children, it may destroy them, and fellowship with God is cut off. But I know that when God has blessed, I thank God for all kinds of abounding. And when you are faced, you pray to God, give me this day my daily bread. So, do not criticize a prayer for a father or a mother for their children to be blessed in a material way and to want them to advance in the world. However, you will see that one thing is missing that God put in, and I'll show you. Turn back to chapter 12. It starts. I won't show you all the blessings, but I want you to see this. Because what Isaac is praying for his son, Esau, he thinks, God has promised those things in chapter 12. Look at verse 2. This is God speaking to Abraham, and he says, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and be thou a blessing, and I will bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And now listen to this. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You see what was left out from the other? Not, O God, let all the families of the earth be blessed in my son Esau, but let him have dominion over them. Let him be lord over them. That's good. But you read in the book of Galatians that Abraham turns out to be the father of the faithful, and in him were all the nations of the earth, the families of the earth, blessed. So it's a good thing. Yes, pray for the material benefits of your children, unless those material things will destroy them. But at the same time, when you pray for those things for them, let them enjoy life and thank God for every material blessing. And ask God to bring good things into their lives. And indeed, let them thrive. But at the same time, do not leave a blessing to mankind out of their lives. Let them in your children, may all people be blessed. And this is the beginning of spiritual blessing as well. Now, this. I do not know from what I read you in chapter 25, when Rebecca went and tried to find out what was going on with the birth of her children, I do not know if it was understood that Jacob, the younger, was to get the blessing and Esau was not to get the blessing. But I wonder, and this is why I cannot give Rebecca too much blame, if she understood the interpretation of that prophecy. And if she did, and she knows that her husband Isaac does not understand it, or will not carry it out, she has to do everything in her power to bring to pass what she learned from God before the birth of these two children. So I'm not able to tell you. And I cannot tell you if Isaac is in ignorance, thinking that he's doing the will of God, because you'll read later on that if a father has two children, one the firstborn, the other one the secondborn, he shall not give the blessing to the secondborn, he shall give it to the firstborn. That's the command of God. Now, this has been the case of Jacob, and this is what is so remarkable. What Isaac has done with Esau and Jacob, Jacob does with Manasseh and Ephraim. The two sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, Manasseh was the firstborn, and Ephraim was the secondborn. And when old Jacob was going to bless his grandchildren, instead of putting his right hand on the head of the firstborn, Manasseh, he switched his hand and put his right hand upon the head of Ephraim. And Joseph said, "Not so, my father." He thought his father was old and senile and didn't know what he was doing. And Joseph said, "I know what I'm doing, my son. I know." And that's the way it was to be. It was to be that way with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Abraham's first son was Ishmael. But God said, not Ishmael, but Isaac. And Isaac's sons were Esau and Jacob. But God said, not Esau, but Jacob. And Joseph's sons were Manasseh and Ephraim. And God said, not Manasseh, but Ephraim. However, if it is old Isaac trying to outdo God, trying to trick God, because I love my son Esau better than Jacob, and I'm determined that Esau gets this blessing from God, then it turns out that what happened is good. And yet, if God has made a promise, you do not have to sin against God. You do not have to lie and cheat and deceive to get the will of God to come to pass in your life. You can trust God and leave it to God, and He will bring it to pass. But if you insist on doing it your way, at times God will allow you to do it your way. But when He does, there are the consequences. And these are the consequences. His mother, the mother of Jacob, gets what she wants. But when she gets the blessing for her son Jacob, you never find that she's pleading for the rest of her life. Because as soon as she gets the blessing for him, Esau's brother hates him and he says, "I'm going to murder my brother just as soon as my father dies." And his mother Rebecca, that loves his son Jacob, she says, "I've got to take care of this." And so she says, "Son, go away for a little while." And then after a few days, when Esau's anger has quieted down, then you come back. But when she sent Jacob, the son that she loved, away from home for a few days, it turned out to be over 20 years. And when he came back home, you read about him seeing his father Isaac, but you see nothing about him seeing his mother Rebecca. And so she got what she wanted. But then she lost that son that she loved for the rest of her life. And at the same time, the other things that are involved, the father, Isaac, when he hears what he's done, he's frightened and he trembles with a great trembling. And I'm wondering why. Is it that he realizes that he's tried to thwart the will of God and blessed Esau in spite of his knowing that he should have blessed Jacob? I can't tell you for certain about all of these things. But when you realize he sends the seed, you realize that this thing is a God and he can't change it. And that's what is so sad. He sees all the blessings that he wanted for Esau, and he pronounced them over Jacob, and he knows that the words that he spoke, thinking they were about Esau, were about Jacob. And Jacob said, I want you to change this. I want you to bless me. And poor Isaac said, I bless Jacob, and he shall be blessed. And finally, poor Esau gets Isaac to give him a blessing, but it's really not a blessing, but it's a lessening of a curse. Because listen again how he interprets the blessing that he's given to his son Jacob. Look at verse 37. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and his brother have I given to him for servant, and with grain and new wine have I sustained him, as what shall I do to thee, my son? And so the only thing he's going to do is to lessen the severity of the blessing that he's given to his son Jacob. And so that's why I read it in verse 39. Notice that he gave his son Jacob. Look at verse 28. God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. He said, I want you to get the dew, and I want you to get the fatness of the earth. And therefore, he can't change it and give them to Esau. So this is why he translated it this way. Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall be thy dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven from above. And you read the history of Esau, and you'll find that he was not a man that strong, that took care of things the way that Jacob did, but away from these things is his portion. And look at verse 40. Jacob has been promised dominion and lordship over his enemies, but it says concerning Esau, And by thy sword shalt thou live, and thou shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt break loose, that thou shalt shake his yoke from off thy neck. For the only hope is this. What I said is true, but it's modified, and eventually you will throw his yoke from off your neck. And so these are some of the things about a father's prayer for his children. So think what God wants you to pray for your children and pray for the right blessing. Amen. That's enough. Let us pray. Our Father, let us know what it is to have friends and loved ones and children and how we're so imperfect as parents and how our God, we want to do so much for them, but some of the things that we want to do for them will destroy them. We pray that you should give us strength and give us wisdom to know what you want us to do. And let us not in thinking that we are doing good and drawing them closer to us. Let us not drive them away from us for the rest of their lives, as Rebecca did, the son Jacob that she loved. But help us to do what your will is, our Father, whatever the consequences. We thank you for all the good points of Isaac. We thank you that you bring out his weaknesses as well. Let us understand that about ourselves. But should you say anything good for us, we thank you. As God, we are also aware of our shortcomings. Teach us these lessons, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.